God is good, isn't he? Man. You know what's so cool? This morning I woke up a little early and Paul was still snoring, so I couldn't go talk to him. He had that little fan noise going on in there. Oh, he's sleeping. So now I decided to pray and spend time in the Lord's presence and just hang out. And while I was hanging out, I ran across several things that's actually happened in this service already. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know. So the Lord is in this place. Like this morning, I heard that God wanted to deliver someone from depression. Where'd she go? Where'd she leave? Well, anyway, that's fine. But I heard that God wanted to do that. So I just confirm that is what God wanted to do. And let me just add to that for just a minute. So you don't have to acknowledge who you are. That's not important. But wherever you are, I just command that spirit of depression to go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. You may not linger any longer. The Lord has exposed you and he rebukes you. Not you, the person, the spirit. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. That came from the throne today. That was from the throne. And then I was hanging out in the song, I Speak Jesus. I was hanging out there this morning. And I actually had never heard that song before, but there was anointing on that thing. And I went, I'm hanging out there. So Jesus, we just speak Jesus again over the congregation. Jesus, Jesus. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. You are Lord. So I just speak Jesus. I ran across something this week that I thought was really incredible. And I want to do some more research on it. I've done a little bit. But, you know, when I read it, I just went, are you kidding me? And some of you may have already seen this or heard this. And some of you may have not. But so scientists have been like studying DNA and the strands in the DNA and how it's all made and put together. And apparently there's a pattern in your DNA. In this pattern, there's like strands of protein that come together, but they are intermittent in how they are weaved together in your DNA. And it follows that pattern all throughout. And so there's 10, and I'm going to probably mess it up, so I'm going to do the best I am because I'm not a scientist. I'm a business person. So there's 10 pieces of protein that are kind of chained together, and then it stops, and then there's some material that goes in between, and then there's 5 pieces of protein, and then there's a material in between, and then there's 6, and then there's 5. So it follows that pattern, 10, 5, 6, 5, 10, 5, 6, 5. When you look into the Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, there's actually not numbers, but what they use is they use the letters to signify the number, okay? And the number 10 corresponds to the I don't remember the actual Hebrew name, but it's the Y in Hebrew, the Y. The Yah, it's the Yah. The number 5 is signified by the H in Hebrew, the He, and then the number 6 is the W. What's that one? Who? Vav. Y, H. That's the name of Yahweh. That is the name of Yahweh. Yahweh is written in your DNA. Are you kidding me? Yahweh is written in your DNA. All right, now wait. Hold on. Wait. But wait, there's more. Wrong code. No. Okay, the symbol of Yah is a spike. It's a spike. And the H is it refers to hands. And the W, I believe, stands for, do you remember what it stands for? I think it has to do with God or something like that. So the name Yahweh is the God with spikes in his hands. The God with spikes in his hands is written in your DNA. Are you kidding me? By him all things consist, and by him all things are held together. Is the scripture true or not?
Yes, it is.
Oh my gosh. When I saw that, I just went, I speak the name of Jesus because he's written in your DNA. He signed his creation. Come on. That's crazy. Oh, it's so beautiful. So anyway, I was hanging out with that one. And then there was another thing that happened this morning. What was that other thing? Oh, I can't remember. I'll remember it later. Anyway, I just thought, oh, I just wanted to share that with you. So just hanging out with Jesus. I know the Lord's here. I know he wants to do wonderful things today. I thought I would just share a couple of testimonies with you. And also, I wanted to point to a book that I put out in the lobby. So I just finished writing my first book, and it's called The Principles of Prophecy. And so this is written based on all my different experiences that I've had and how God has taught me about hearing his voice. I started, you know, as a little boy wanting to understand God's voice. My dad was in a study, and I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I was interested in wanting to hear what God sounded like. And I asked my dad one day, I said, Dad, what are you doing in that study? The door's always closed and not quite sure what you're doing. He said, I'm talking to God in there. I said, what? Really? You're talking to God? And yeah, he said, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I said, okay, all right. So I noted that. And the next time I saw that the door was closed, I decided to sneak up. And I got on the ground, and I put my ear as close as I could to the crack under the door so I could hear what God sounded like. So that was, I think, God's way of, like, putting in me, like, a desire to hear his voice. And how many of you know that every one of you have heard his voice already, right? That's why you're here. You wouldn't be here unless you've heard his voice. And the scripture says that my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, okay? But God has lots of different ways that he wants to speak to you. And some of you, you have explored some of those ways. But there are many other ways that he speaks. And I didn't quite understand that. But the Lord, the way he started with me was he started giving me little visions, like pictures in my mind and things like that. I'd be praying for people and I'd see a flash of a picture. And but I thought that's the only way he could talk, you know, for the longest time. That's what I thought until I got introduced, like, you know, hey, he can talk to you in other ways, too. He can give you feelings. He can give you emotions. He can give you a song in your mind. He could, you know, talk to you in a dream. And so I write about all this stuff in this book. There's a lot of good information in here. So it's out there if you're interested in getting a copy. I just put a little basket there. You know, so if you want to give a love offering, that's great. But if you don't have anything with you, this is what you have to do, okay? If you don't have anything with you and you'd like a copy, you have to take two. You can't just take one. You have to take two. Here's why. You're going to take one for yourself, and you're going to take one for a friend that you're going to give it to, okay? So if you don't have anything with you, fine, take two. Is that crazy or what? I'm not. It's a weird marketing scheme, but I think the Holy Spirit told me to do it that way. And if there's not enough copies, I have some more in my truck, and I'll bring them to you. Okay? All right. So who had a Ford Pinto when they were growing up? Who had a Ford Pinto? You had one? There you go. This is for you. I just wanted to share a couple testimonies with you guys this morning about how God has, you know, spoken to me in the past and been able to use it. I thought that would be fun. And then Paul may have some things he wants to share, and then I think we're just going to, like, prophesy to people. Does that sound okay to y'all? So I thought I'd share a couple testimonies. This one is from Costa Rica. So this, and actually this is, let's see, we're in April right now, right? Yes. So this would have been last July or August. I was down in Costa Rica, and we were having a big leaders conference, and we decided what we were going to do is we were going to prophesy to everybody that came, all the leaders that came. I had a team with me. And one by one, we're calling them all out, and they're just, like, so pumped and so many confirmations. And so anyway, but we came to a point where I felt like I wanted to share a dream, because I'd had a dream when I got into Costa Rica, but I didn't quite know how to apply it or whatever, but I felt like I should share it in this leadership conference thing. So I tell them, I said, well, I had this dream, and in this dream, I was actually in Bolivia. You know, I've never been in Bolivia before, but I was in Bolivia in this dream, and in the dream, I was in this plantation thing, and they were cultivating some fruits from the trees and stuff like that. I never ate this kind of fruit before, but I said it was this kind of a fruit. I told them about it, and actually, I can't even remember the name of it now, because it's just not something that's unknown to me, but somehow I'd had it in the dream. And so, and then I got a name. The person that was the farmer and the guy who owned that big plantation. Let me think if I remember his name now. Oh my goodness, the name's actually kind of important for this testimony. I'm going to bomb right now. Well, anyway, I'll just say I had the name of the guy who was the owner of the plantation, and I saw him there, and I said, "What are you doing here in Bolivia?" Because I know him, the guy I saw. He was actually a pastor in Texas, in Central Texas, and I said, "What are you doing here?" You know, and he's probably, he asked me, "Well, what are you doing here?" You know, because I'm in Bolivia, and I don't never even been there, only in my dream. And he said, "Well, I just felt like I should take what I had and invest it down here, and you know, and see what happened." And I'm looking around. It's like, wow, this thing's working well. This is very prosperous. Like, God is in this thing. And that's what I told him in the dream. I said, "Well, God is in this, and He's blessing you." Praise the Lord, you're here, or something like that. And that was, I think that was the end of the dream. And so I tell it to this group of pastors, and I'm telling them about it. And sorry, I had more detail. I probably have it written down in my notes somewhere. And so I said, "Does this mean anything to anybody? You know, I'm in Costa Rica. Bolivia's down in South America. You know, what's the chances? I mean, there's only like..." There was like 40 people there, so 40. So what's the chances of anybody? Who knows? But the guy sitting in front of me, though, he goes, "Yeah, actually, I've been talking to a gentleman down in Bolivia, and he's been asking me to consider to invest in this venture that he has in Bolivia." And I said, "Okay, cool." And I said, "Well, what's the guy's name?" And he said the guy's name, and it was the first name of the guy that I had in the dream. It was that guy's name. And I said, I think this might be for you." A lot of discernment there, you know. And then I said, "Well, is the guy's last name blah, blah, blah?" Because that's, you know, I had the first and the last name. And he goes, "Well, I don't know. Actually, let me look it up." So he's like looking it up. Oh, and this guy, by the way, actually could speak English, which is kind of cool because most people just speak Spanish down there. And so we're like talking and going back and forth. I'm going, "Oh, my gosh," you know. And then, so he looked up the guy's last name. He says, well, that's not his last name. But that last name that you just gave, it actually means mining in Spanish. And the guy that was doing this venture, he actually had some mineral mine stuff that he was asking this guy, this pastor, to invest in. So it was the first name was exact the same, and he was involved in mining. And that's what the name that I had in the dream. Isn't that cool? So, you know, so like, in other words, like, God can say things to you in all different ways. That one I just illustrated was from a dream that I had that I did not have any experience in whatsoever. Never been to Bolivia and didn't know who these people were and all that kind of stuff. And didn't know what that fruit was, by the way. But the fruit was just a symbol that this will be successful. This is going to be a fruitful venture for you. So, and after telling him that, like, he's like blown away. And we ended up prophesying. He brought a team. He told me afterward, he said, you know, well, I came to this conference because I came to check you out because I didn't know if I could trust you. Because I tried to look about who you were on the internet, and you don't have anything out there. And I said, well, you know, I don't. I don't really have anything out there. And he goes, so, you know, there's all kinds of crazy, like, wonky prophetic people that are going around. And so, you know, I didn't know. So I decided to bring my whole leadership team, and we were going to discern whether or not you're a real prophet or not. Like, God is setting this guy up, okay? And so we ended up, my team, we ended up prophesying to that whole line. He brought like 7 or 8 different people. He said every one of the words that you guys gave was exactly right on. It was just like confirmation after confirmation. You were like reading our mail. And then this guy, I'm telling him about things that he's involved in, you know, through my dream or whatever. So he was like so pumped. So he said, you know, next time you come, we want you to come and minister in our city. He said, I have access to a large building. We can seat about 1,000 people there. We want you to come and minister into the prophetic down there. Isn't that cool? So I was just like, wow, you know, but all through a dream. And I was just taking a chance, by the way, because, like, I didn't know what to do with that dream. And I just thought, well, I'll share it here and see if something happens. And, well, something happened. So that was pretty cool. So that was that one. Another time, I'll say another, like, dream testimony thing. So I had a habit, and I still have a habit, where if I'm in a cab in a big city or something, I know the long ride is going to be long, I usually try to witness to the cab driver as I'm driving. Not to distract them, but, you know, just to use that time, you know, and take advantage of it. So this Muslim guy picked me up from JFK Airport, and we're going into Manhattan, and it's a really long ride if you've ever been to JFK, having to go in Manhattan. It's like about a 40 or 50-minute ride. And so I just start talking to him, and I tell him about mission work that I do and that I go and tell people about Jesus and stuff like that. And he said, well, you know, I had a dream the other night, and it had the Pope. The Pope was in the dream. And he said, so he explained to me the dream and everything. And I can't remember the details now because it was like, you know, probably 7 or 8 years ago this happened. And so he tells me this dream about the Pope and everything. So I just interpret. I said, well, here's what's going on. God is trying to reach out to you, and he's showing you, you know, through the Christian faith that he's the God with nails and scars in his hand. And I got to tell him about Jesus and how, you know, in the Muslim Quran, Jesus is actually in there, by the way. They just don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, okay? So I got to tell him about that. And in the dream, there was some aspect of it that was kind of showing or signifying that Jesus was the one who has the true testimony of the one who, you know, died for us and to pay for sin. And then I talked to him about, like, you know, so tell me about your relationship with God. And if you know anything about the Muslim faith, one of the big problems that they have is they always feel like they're estranged from the Father. They don't look as God as a Father. And so in the Muslim culture, like, the whole father issue is like a huge problem, you know, because they just don't feel like they have that. And so I got to talk to him about, you know, fatherhood and stuff like that, and how our God is our Father, and how he loves us. And then I asked him, I said, you know, according to your religion, like, do you have any assurance that you're going to go to heaven? And he told me, he said, well, no, I really don't. I don't know if I'm going to go there or not. And so then I told him the difference about in Christianity about that. And so anyway, by the time we're getting closer and closer to Manhattan for him to drive me off, I just popped the question. I said, would you like to be assured that you will go to heaven? Would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? And he said, yes. Isn't that cool? So on my ride over from JFK, I got to lead this Muslim into Christianity. I mean, it's like, so don't tell me that there's anybody who's difficult or impossible to reach, because it's not true. Just open the door and begin to speak, and the Lord will give you the right things to say, or he'll show you what you could take advantage of or what you can speak into, right? So that's what I did with him. And as I'm getting out of the cab, he says, don't tell the other Muslim cab drivers because they'll kill me. He was serious, by the way. Whenever a Muslim converts, there is that whole shaming out of their culture, and they'll actually try to kill you, you know. So he said, don't tell the other drivers, they'll kill me if they find out. I said, I won't, but God knows, you know. And I just encouraged him where he was, you know, just to keep following after the Lord. Isn't that cool? But I just used, it wasn't my dream. I used the dream of somebody else to speak into that situation. Isn't that cool? So God is so good, he wants to use you everywhere you go. So I was down in St. Augustine. I'm going to give you another couple of testimonies. So I was down in St. Augustine, and I'm with my family, and we're on a vacation. We just needed a break. So we went down there, and we got an Airbnb, and, you know, it was fun and everything. And one day, because I'm surrounded by girls. I don't have any guys in my house. Nobody wants to throw the football. Nobody. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's bad. But so what do girls like to do? Shop. Exactly. Everyone wants to go shopping. So we're going shopping. We're going to downtown St. Augustine to go shopping. And we're walking down there. And they always want to go to the frilly shops and, you know, nothing where there's hunting and guns and stuff. I mean, they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that, Paul. So we go into this frilly little shop, you know, and I'm standing there like that. Like, this is what dads do. Yeah, well, praise God, I didn't have to hold the hot pocketbook. But so I'm bored, but I decide I'll just mill around and walk in the store. Well, right in the middle of the store, they set up like this prayer portal thing or something. And they took this shiplap and had it all, but it was out of raw wood, wasn't painted or anything like that. And then they had little pieces of paper, and people were penning their prayers on the wall of this little sanctuary thing or whatever. I don't, it was, you know, just totally, never seen anything like that before or since. And all of a sudden I felt like, you know, like, was it Jacob, like God was in this place and I did not know it. It was like that, like God is in this place and I didn't even know it. And here he is right in the middle here. And I'm looking at all the prayers and everything. I'm going, oh my gosh, the Lord is here. And so just like I started getting a download from heaven. And then, you know, so that actually made the trip a lot more enjoyable. But then we're like walking out of the store, and the Lord says to me, you have a word for that shop owner. And I said, oh, okay. So I told my daughter while she's walking by. I said, honey, just stop for a minute. God's telling me I got a word for this person. So I just stop. What, Lord? And so he gives me this download, and he tells me about a business transaction and how They need to negotiate terms, but he also needs to be a little firm to make sure that he doesn't agree to a term that's not going to be helpful or advantage to him. But the Lord was going to be in this, and that he was going to give him success, and it was going to be a good venture for him. So that's what I got. I'm standing outside on the sidewalk in the hot St. Augustine sun, and that's what he says to me. Or, you know, I walk by faith, so I hear things like that, and I go, okay, I still have to take a step of faith and go say this. So I go back into the shop. I don't know if this guy, I think he's a Christian because of the portal thing, but I don't know. So him and his wife are standing right there. And so I said, hey, I was leaving, but the Lord said he gave me something for you. And so then I started telling him. Him and his wife, like, they're looking at me, and then, like, this is what their mouth did. You know. And then he tells me, he said, I'm actually in a negotiation with another man right now. He's inviting me into an adventure to do an investment with him. But I was actually thinking about calling it off because I just didn't have enough information. And so I was going to actually call him in the next hour and tell him this. And here you are telling me I should literally consider this and look into the details of it and negotiate the contract. So he just goes, this God sent you here. And so anyway, that's like so cool. But it started with this. I'm walking down the road, and David, you have something for that owner. Stop. That's how it started, okay? So sometimes when God's giving you things, he knocks on your door.
That's right.
Hey, I have something. But he didn't tell me what it was until I stopped. He didn't tell me until I asked. He didn't tell me until I knocked back. And then you don't know what's going to happen until you go and speak. So I didn't know. Now, what's the worst thing that could have happened there? I could have went in there, and the guy could have looked at me and said, get out of my shop. You're a moron. That's the worst that could happen. So I could get some humility. Is that bad? Is humility bad? No, because God gives grace to the humble. So if I miss it, I get grace. So I can get more if I miss it. That's the worst that can happen. The worst thing that can happen is you get more so you can be able to hear him better. That's the worst. The best thing that can happen is, hey, it's actually right. And something happens and you're actually helping somebody either get delivered or, you know, you speak into their life and their future then, you know, takes off, or God points to something that he wants to do, some favor in their life that he wants to release, and then all of a sudden they get catapulted into the next thing and season in their life. So that's the best. I don't know about you, but the worst actually sounds like it's not too bad either. Isn't that cool? So anytime when you're stepping out, actually, you're blessed. Whether you get it right or you don't get it right. That's right. You just, yeah. Yeah, and then sometimes you don't know, well, I think I'm obeying the Lord, but, you know, I also could be, you know, needing to take my meds this morning, and I forgot to do that. Because that is possible. Anyway, so I thought I would just share some of those stories. I got bunches of stories, but I just thought I would share those. Paul, come up here and save me from saying anything silly.